But you've got the knowledge this morning because you've got the Holy Ghost inside of your temple. And Jesus said that Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth, would bring whatever you needed to know from this Bible to your remembrance. Amen. And so the biggest part of our journey is learning what Christ has made us and forgetting what our past wanted to make us. Because, see, the past has been defeated. The cross takes the past and makes it a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. Amen? All right. So you bear with me. Let's read this whole parable here in the sense that you and I know it's more than a parable, but they call it a parable in the Bible. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. If you're there, say amen. Out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling, visiting a foreign land." In other words, this is like Jesus. This is Jesus going back to heaven and leaving you and I here with these gifts and abilities to be able to work for him. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Say, "I'm God's steward." All right. Thank you. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability," his spiritual capacity, his self-capacity. "He gave every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he which had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And he said unto him, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things.'" Possibilities. "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawn. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that is thine.' And his Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I am not strong. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. There, take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Who wants to pray for me? Somebody pray. Yes.
We ask for this message to be sent straight into our hearts, straight
yes.
into our soul, to turn us forward with you, to be stronger every day with you, God. We thank you for it all, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Zach. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for your patience. Now, I want you to just I know you've read this and studied this so many times, but we have to see that the Word of God is progressive revelation. And every time that you and I lay our eyes by the help of the Holy Spirit on the Word of God, the Word expands, it grows. And you and I, as the Word, we allow the Word to expand and to grow into our lives. Guess what? We increase our spiritual capacity. we increase the ability to trust God, to believe God, to do what seemingly was impossible. Amen. And so right now we see at this point in the church age that the devil is rearing his ugly head. He's trying to bring all these smoke screens, these mirrors, to bring discouragement and to make people believe that there's not any hope for an awakening. And I know that you and I, we can if we're not careful, we can be influenced more by what we see in the natural than what we see in the spirit. But you're a group of people that doesn't take for granted what you see in the spirit. You recognize and realize that our Father, He looked in the spirit and then He spoke out. He worked and brought what He saw in the spirit to this earth. And that's what you and I are going to do. Amen. We're going to increase our spiritual capacity. So this morning, I want you to mark three things down on your heart. Discipline, direction. You and I, we need to have discipline in our life. And when we have discipline in our life, it'll give us direction. It'll give us direction to be able to walk in that way of the Lord. And as we're walking in that way of the Lord, all of a sudden comes the capacity of discernment. We are able to understand things better. I don't know how far we'll get into this, but we'll do our best. Now, notice here, as Jesus is bringing forth this teaching to us, he brought a group of people together, and it's not about what you and I, if we're not careful, we look at somebody and we look at the giftings, the talents that they have. See, this, I want you to think about this. This here, this these talents, this is a significant amount of resource. And sometimes we don't think that we have the resource that other people have. But see, our God, He looks at your heart, He looks at my heart, and He knows what I can be productive in. In other words, He looked at the person that He gave the two talents to, and He knew if He gave them five, that it would overwhelm them. It would be a burden to them. But see, God looks at your heart, He looks at my heart, and He knows exactly where you can flourish. And He gives you just exactly what you need where you can succeed. So don't get caught up as you look at somebody. I know I used to look at certain preachers and I think, well, why am I even doing this? Because they preach this way and they preach with such power and they have these great words and nuggets and all of these things. But you and I, we can't look to anybody but Jesus. We look to the author and the finisher of our faith, and we know that God has set us up where we can't fail. See, now you can pull from your own life and understand this, because I look at my dad and I look at my grandpa as I was growing up, and you can do probably the very same thing. Maybe your dad or grandpa, your mom or your grandmother, whatever it might be. And my dad, he always didn't think I could do anything. And so he never let me do anything, so I never learned from him. Then my grandpa, he went overboard on the other way. He gave me too much responsibility, and a lot of times I couldn't succeed in that area. And so I had to kind of find my own way. But that's not the way it is with Jesus. Jesus gives you just what you need, where you can walk hand in hand with Him. And when the devil tells you, oh, this is too big or this is too much, you say, my Jesus gave me what I had for my several ability. Now, this several ability, this several has to do with self. Say, He's talking about me. Self. Jesus knows you intimately. And this ability is dunamis. It's the same word for miracle. Force. The force of God. Inside of you is a miracle power of God. The force of God, according to what you can take and apply and succeed with. Amen? So you say, well, then if that's inside of me, why do I need to increase my spiritual capacity? Because what you and I don't know, we'll never be able to do. And so when we come to that knowledge that's in us, then all of a sudden that takes the restraints off. That opens up. See, Jesus said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many rooms. There are many abiding places. In other words, in the relationship, in the abode with God the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit, there's many rooms that you and I have never walked in yet. But guess what? We have access to them. And because we have access to them, we need to open up our spiritual capacity and start believing God for it. Now notice what he said in verse 16. It said that then he that had received the five talents, and it's the same with the two, went and traded. Now that word traded means to toil and labor. Now, just because you have a gifting from God, just because I have a gifting from God, doesn't mean we're just going to lay back. You're going to have to put some work into it. I'm going to have to put some work into it. We're going to have to spend some time in the Spirit, in prayer, and spend some time alone with God. And the more that we spend the time alone with God, when we get out in public, the more He will manifest Himself. The more you'll have the understanding of who you are and what you can do. Amen? You can do all things through this Lord and Savior that you're trusting in. All right. So, but what I want you to be encouraged about is be very cautious to let the devil get into your speech. To start putting a label on God and start putting a label on you. Because, see, God has joys for us. He wants us to enter into in the eternity, but He wants us to enter into them right now. Amen? And as we're faithful in this revelation and what He calls us to do, all of a sudden then more comes. But see, this servant that just had the one talent, and it's not about what you have, it's about your faithfulness. Say, it's about my faithfulness. He looked... And he looked at God, and he put a label on him. This is why we had kind of a wild Sunday school out here one morning because there was somebody that started saying that God was this way and that way. And we had to bring these scriptures out because they were young people that were sitting in that Sunday school class, and we didn't want to let them be led astray because, see, God is whatever you look at Him to be, to you. And see, that's what this servant with the one talent did. He called God a what? Notice what it said there in verse number 24. He said, I know that thou art a hard man. The Bible says that I have what I say. And so all of a sudden, he's saying that God is hard. Well, God is a God of what? Of love. Love never fails. Love is of God is what changes people's hearts, changes their ideology. It's what gives them, moves them from a place of hopelessness to a place of hope. So that's not true. But see, he had a false misconception. The devil had got into his life and had told him some things, and he accepted that. Now notice what he said. He said that you reap where you're not sown, and you gather where you're not strown. And he said, and I was afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid of what He's gave you. God has gave you something that this world needs, that the lost are hungry for, that the disciples need to hear, that those who are hungry and searching, that they can hear it out of your own heart. Amen? You are a messenger. There's so many of you right now that you're starting to step into your anointing. And as you start to step in your anointing, these gifts and callings of God, the devil is coming against you stronger and stronger. Why? Because you're closer than you've ever been to walking with the Lord in the destiny that it was wrote in from the foundation of the world for you to walk in. Amen? Now, notice what happens. Look what the Lord tells him. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thy wicked and slothful servant. You know, Jesus always brings us the truth. See, what did Jesus just do? He just read his heart. He said, it's not because what you think. He said, you're putting this on me, but it's on you. Your own opinion of who I am, you're placing that on me, and then who you really are and what you're motivated by is coming out of your life. And all of a sudden, look what he said. He said, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. In other words, he said, if that's what you say about me, that's the way I'm going to judge you. Because the Bible says, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, thy mouth shall speak, right? But you drop down to verse 37, and Jesus says, by your words, by my words, I'm going to be judged. And so, Right here, this is a perfect example that he judged him out of his own words. So the words out of your mouth and my mouth this morning, our God is a loving God. He is more than enough. And I'm increasing in spiritual capacity because I'm coming to more and more truth. I'm being pruned. I'm being purged. Amen? All right. Now, let's go over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Now, Luke chapter 14, this is, we're talking about being disciplined now by the Word of God, not by the enemy, not by the flesh, but becoming disciplined. And the word discipline in the Bible, a disciple in the Bible, it's from the Greek word mathetes, and it means to be a pupil, to be a learner, but it means to be a pupil and a learner that you become disciplined in what you've learned. See, you and I were disciplined in what we've learned in the world. Because we don't do certain things, we don't say certain things because it's not. But we need to be disciplined in this above all things. Amen? All right, so now don't let the enemy make you think God is a hard God. So when we read these verses, you let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Luke 14, verse number 25. And there was a great multitude with him, with Jesus. There was a mega amount of people. A myriad is what it is in the Greek. There's a myriad group of people with Jesus. And he turned and said unto them. See, we got to see that Jesus is leading the way. He's leading the way. And so for him to bring us to where he's at, he's got to turn back to where I'm at. Because that's what this word means. This word turn, it means to twist and to completely turn around. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ will turn around and put His face to your face, put His face to my face, and He'll talk to us heart to heart because He wants to bring us from where we're at to where He's going. Amen? He's going someplace, but we've got to be disciplined in what He says. We've got to put His words first and foremost. Verse number 26. Jesus said, if any man, and remember we've talked about it, God in the beginning, He created man, right? But man includes man and woman. So there's no gender intended. Nobody's left out. It said, and if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life, notice that also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, in this teaching of this parable, three times he talks about us not being able to be his disciple unless we become disciplined in his word. Now, we know that God is a God of love, and we know that God ordained the family before he ordained the church. So we've got to look at this and got to say, now, wait a minute. There's something wrong here, a little askew with this translation. So when you read these verses of Scripture, you got to take the Word of God and you got to put it in complete context. Now notice what he said. If any man come to me, if any person come to me and hate not. So this Greek word, it also means, and so the only way you can understand it is the context of the whole story, it means to love less. Brother Ryan, could you put Matthew 10:37 on the screen? Matthew 10:37. I appreciate you, Brother Ryan, so much. Notice this is out of the mouth of Jesus. He that loveth father or mother more than. Okay? More than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So make a note of 10:37 and put it beside that verse of Scripture in your Bible. In your Bible app, so you'll have it where you'll know it. So when we go back to verse 26 in Luke 14, if any man come to me and hate not, no, love less. Love less. You and I, we've got to love Jesus more than anybody, especially, pinch yourself, especially this own life. Because see, I don't know about you, I spent a lot of time trying to live this life, trying to feed this life, and it's so fleeting. It's so, it cannot be satisfied. There's always something missing. All right, so the discipline I need to have is, I need to see that Jesus said that He gave me my own several ability, my own capacity. And my capacity is determined by my discipline and what He says. And so I've got to recognize and realize that God gave me feelings for my family, for my friends, for my own life. God gave you the very same thing. But I've got to make sure that those feelings are not corrupted, that they're not above the Lord. Because if I put my marriage above the Lord, I'm going to have marriage trouble. If I put my kids above the Lord, I'm going to have trouble. Because what happens? I've opened the door for the devil to work in and through that situation, that circumstance. The moment that I give everything to Jesus and put Him first in my own life, in your own life, everything starts working. It's amazing. We've got to stand on it. And you say, well, I've got some situations. I do too. But I'm standing on the Word of God because He cannot lie. Amen? Now notice, verse 27. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me, here's the second time, cannot be my disciple. So the only way that you and I are going to be able to love the Lord more than our own life is that we have got to pick up our cross. We've got to see that the cross is an instrument of death. And in death, life comes, which is so contrary to the world, isn't it? But when I really die to the old ways of thinking, the old man, that's when I come alive. I'm alive in the Spirit to God, and I'm in the place where I'm able to receive in my life truth and reality that changes everything. Now see, every one of you, you've got family that you love so much. That's normal, that when we should. And, I've shared this with you before, but this just fits perfectly. There was nobody this side of Donna on this earth that I loved more than my grandfather. My grandpa, he was everything to me. He taught me everything about life. But when Donna and I got saved and started going to church, I had a choice to make. And that choice was, see, on Sunday, me and him, we always went and done something. That's when we took a trip, we done this, we done that. And so I had a choice to make. Am I going to go to church, or am I going to do what I did before? And so it was hard. It was hard. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to do certain things, and I knew that as he progressed in age and I progressed in age, that there would be less and less opportunity. And all of a sudden, all these years passed, and then he was getting ready. I knew that he didn't have a lot of time left, and I was sad. I was really sad about that. And all of a sudden, then I get a phone call from my mom, and she said, would you come down here as quick as you can, you and Donna? Said, Raymond wants you to pray with him. He wants to make sure he can go to heaven. You know, he's 91 years old. And so all of that time then, and the Spirit of God just spoke to me so soft and gentle. Said, I couldn't have got him to this place if you hadn't have been in your place. And he said, every Sunday that you lost, you don't know what you're going to gain in the eternity. Amen. So we love less. We put Jesus first. And when we put Jesus first, miraculous things can happen. Amen. All right. Now, drop down. We won't read all of this because we don't have time. But drop down to verse 33. This is the third time that Jesus makes this statement. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So you and I, if we're not careful, we have watered down the Scripture. You know, we say all you got to do is believe. Yes, praise God. That's all you do. You believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. But then that puts you on a walk. That puts you on a journey. And that journey is that you and I, we start emptying out of self and we start filling up, increasing our spiritual capacity with filling up with the truth of who Jesus is. Amen. And so. We've got to see that you've got to make a decision. And God's not going to force you. He's not going to force me. Now, there are certain people who have certain calls. If you don't submit to that, you're going to kick against the prick. And you're going to, it's going to be rough. But at the same time, you and I have got to recognize that God will let us make our own decision. And I don't know about you, but that prick gets rough sometimes. And so I don't want to kick against it. I want to say yes to Jesus. Amen. All right. So I need to be disciplined. I need to see some things. So Brother Ryan, put John 3:30. Now this is talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist makes this statement. And this is the statement that you and I have got to make. John the Baptist is talking about Jesus. He must increase. He must. Now that word must, it means it's necessary as binding. Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. So that's what Jesus is talking about. We're able to pick up our cross, and we because we're loving Him more than our family, more than our own life, and we give up on the things that we think is important in this life, and we allow Him to put truth in us. See, that's how our spiritual capacity increases, because we receive this word, this engrafted word. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that is able to save your soul, right? Your mind, will, and emotions. Not your spirit. Your spirit is already saved. It's already born again. But your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And so we've got to make this statement and say, Lord, show me right now. Because, see, God leads us moment by moment. The devil, he wants to get us in a place where we think we got to do something right now, and it's got to be immediate and got to be in a powerful way change everything. But Jesus, he leads us according to our growth, according to our walk, according to our willingness, and he does it in a way that. That just encourages us. There's no despair there. There's no hopelessness there. He builds hope in your life. Now, notice what Jesus said. I believe it's Matthew 11:11, Brother Ryan. Look what Jesus says about John the Baptist. Matthew 11:11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now this is out of the mouth of Jesus. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Because why? Because we're talking about a spiritual body. We're talking about eternity, right? But here Jesus makes this statement about John. Now, I want to preach about it sometime, and I hope we get to. John the Baptist comes in the spirit of Elijah, but yet he did no miracles. And I'll just throw this out there for you to think about, and we'll talk about it in a future time. But yet Jesus called him the greatest. See, it's not about the miracles, it's about the faithfulness. It's about doing what God asked you to do. So you can be the greatest person in the eyes of God. If God tells you to go and change the roll of toilet paper in the bathroom, and you go, what? Now? And you go change that roll of toilet paper, you're the greatest in his eyes because you've done something that doesn't make sense to the natural, but you just know the voice of the Lord because he's your shepherd, you're his sheep, and you just simply do it. Nobody else has to understand it. Nobody else probably will. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that you please the one who loved you enough to die for you. Amen? So I want you to see that you can be great in the eyes of the Lord by simply saying, Lord, show me how to decrease. Show me how to decrease in myself, in my thinking, my desires, and how to increase in your will, your work, your way. Amen? It takes this discipline. Now, go with me to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 54. Now, this morning, there's probably a lot of things going on in your mind. There's probably a lot of things going on in your body. But see, we've got to be disciplined in the Word and let the Word change our life. Now, this here is prophetic. This 54th chapter is prophetic of the church. Say, I'm the church. And notice what it says in verse number 1. Isaiah 54:1. Sing, O barren. Now, how many... Most wives want children, right? And so he says, I want you to sing. I want you to shout for joy in your barrenness. That makes no sense. I like to complain. My flesh does. It likes to whine, to take on. It likes to talk about what I don't have, what I want, what I need, and all of these things, and make a little song about that. But see, that's not being disciplined in the Word, and that's not going to bring me to a place to have what God has for me. See, the devil wants me to come in agreement with him. Oh, well, that's just the way it is. This is the cards I was dealt, and I'm going to have to play them out. No, throw them away. Draw new in the name of Jesus. Amen? So here he says, this is your discipline. This is an act of faith. I want you this morning to come to a place of an act of faith where you can decrease in self and increase in Jesus. He said, sing, O barren, that thou did not bear, break forth into singing. And in other words, sing like that you've got what you don't have. Barren here, let's limit it to children. Let's limit it to the promises that you're believing God for. Let's say that you're believing God for finances. You're believing God for a car. You're believing God for a house. You're believing God for a relationship restored. You're believing God for influence in somebody's life like you never had before. Start singing God. Thank God for it. Say, Lord, I'm gonna sing a song of faith to you. I'm gonna shout for joy because I know that you're the God that can do the impossible. Amen. He said, "Cry aloud." That word "cry" it means to gleam. To gleam, to shine a light of cheer. I want you to think about that. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Whether you look like it, whether you to yourself, whether you feel like it or not. Out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, he said, you are, present tense, the light of the world. So we got to cast down the false light, the fake light, and say, uh-uh, devil, no, you don't. You're not putting no black light on me. I am the pure rainbow light of the Father. Amen? Notice what he said. Cry aloud that did not travail with children, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. In other words, God said, I know what I've done with my wife. I know what I've done with Israel. But let me tell you what I'm going to do with my church. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I've got Israel took care of. Don't you worry about them. All of Israel shall be saved. Romans chapter 11. Paul tells us that. But he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with my church. I'm going to take a group of people that were barren, a group of people that were lost and dying in sin, a group of people that had nothing, and I'm going to give them everything through my Son, Jesus Christ. And as an act of faith, you and I say, God, I believe that. I believe that. I believe I can be forgiven. I believe I can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that I can have eternal life. Amen? All of those things. We start saying it. And as we start saying it, our spiritual capacity, it increases. It grows. It magnifies. Amen? Verse number 2. This is your part. This is my part. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. He said, enlarge. See, if I'm gonna have a greater spiritual capacity, I've got to be disciplined in the Word. He said, enlarge, broaden, make room, open wide, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations, spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Now, I don't have time this morning to get into what each one of those means, but each one of these is an act of faith. Now, when Don and I were dating, one of the times I was over at her house, she opened up this chest. And inside this chest was all of these things that she was had been given to her and she was storing, getting ready for marriage. And she opens up that chest and shows it to me. Uh-huh. So here's the plan. Here's the direction that she's looking at. Here's what she's thinking about. And she's making provision for that. So that's what we're talking about, an act of faith. You and I, if you are believing God for something this morning, then you need to step out as an act of faith. Yeah. You need to open up your mouth and say what God has placed in your spirit. You say, well, that's pretty bold. I don't know about you. I've said enough stuff the devil's put in my spirit. So I need to say what God says. All right. So when I do that, he said that I would enlarge. Let's document that. Go with me to Psalms 81. I believe it's verse 10, Brother Ryan. Psalms 81. Now, this is going to be the same word as enlarge in the Hebrew. Psalms 81:10. God says, I am the Lord thy God. Aren't you glad? I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. In other words, enlarge your tent, broaden, make room. How do you do that? By your words. By your words. Open your mouth wide this morning and say what God is saying. Your mind may not understand it. Your body may try to reject it. You may even tremble at the reality of what God's saying. But God's got so much for you. But you and I have got to come in agreement with Him. Jesus said, you know, in Matthew 11:23, that we have what we say. And so we open up our mouth wide and we don't speak out of what we see or we feel in our natural, but we decrease in the natural and we increase in the spiritual and we say what God says. He said, I'll fill it. I'll give you words. Can you imagine this morning, God's got words that your mind, your natural mind, doesn't even know. He's got words that there's places in your spirit, in my spirit this morning, that's empty. And He's got words by the Spirit to speak that will just be like fulfilling the puzzle. We've all done puzzles on the kitchen table or whatever. And you know, and as you start bringing that together, there's always empty places. And some of those things are hard to feel when the colors are so close, but they're not exactly the same. God's got some things for you that you think you've seen, you think you've understood, but they're just a little bit different. But we've got to open our mouth wide. We've got to say what God would have us to say. Amen? And as we do that, it changes everything about our life. Now, in Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse number 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, anytime you see the word name, you're talking about the character, the authority. You're talking about all of who the Lord is. See, when we meet Jesus as Savior, praise God for that, but that's just one aspect of His name. That's just one aspect of who He is. And we run into that tower of salvation and we have our capacity increased in that area to be able to be saved and to be born again and to be saved from the lake of fire. Praise God for that. But He wants us to run into the fullness of His name. That's why, remember when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain and Isaac asked him, he said, Dad, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham told him, said, the Lord Himself, right, will provide. Well, when he provided that ram, Jesus, with His horn stuck in the thicket, that's when we have the name Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. And so, the name of the Lord. What name, see, God wants you to increase your spiritual capacity. He wants me to increase my spiritual capacity to know a new name of the Lord this morning. To see Him in a way that we've never saw Him before. Now, stay with me just for a second. The name of the Lord is, present tense, a strong tower. In other words, God has a name for you this morning, a name for this morning where we can step into a place of refuge, a place of protection where the devil cannot get to. It's a new name. It's a name that the devil goes, huh? Makes me think of a Wile E. Coyote trying to catch Bugs Bunny. You know what? God's got that name for us. That place. And so I've got to see that this morning the enemy wants to excuse me, steal some things from us. And he doesn't want us to increase our capacity in that direction. But if we will listen to the Lord, it'll be there for us. Amen? All right. The name of the Lord is, presence is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Shalom. Now, you're saved. You're safe. You have peace. You have prosperity. You have hope. You have it's the answer to everything. You remember what it felt like when you got saved? You know, got forgiven? This, that, everything was right in the world. Okay, that's for us all the time. But the devil doesn't want us to have it. But that name, if I will see that there's, in other words, if I increase my spiritual capacity to that reality, to that truth, it'll change everything. Amen? All right. In closing, let's look at one verse of Scripture, and we're going to build on this in the coming weeks. In Colossians chapter 2, this is what I want you to take home with you. Look at what he says. Let's go and read two verses. In verse number 9, Colossians 2 and 9, "For in Jesus, for in Him, dwelleth." Now that word dwelleth means to house permanently. So inside of Jesus, is what? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, when Jesus, when He walked the earth, He said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you hear Me, you've heard the Father." Well, you can't hear the Father without the Spirit. So, and when Jesus walked the earth, He was full of God the Father. He was full of God the Spirit. And He showed us how to walk and how to live in this life for a reason. Notice what it says in verse number 10. "And ye," you, say, He's talking about Me. And we'll hit this more in the future. "But you are complete in Him," in Jesus, "which is the head of all principality and power." Now see, I've got to increase my spiritual capacity into this truth, into this reality. Because I'm always, in the past, I was always asking God for something. But instead of asking God for it, I need for Him to show me what I already have. See, because if I recognize and realize that I've already got something, that I just need to put it to use, then, because if I come up to Donna and I said, "Give me that phone. Just give me that phone." And she gave it to me. "Give me your phone. Give me your phone. No, give me your phone. I need your phone." God would think we was insane if we keep asking for what we got. The Bible says, not you're going to be. The moment you got born again, you become complete. That word complete, pleroeo, it means that you're running over with all the glory of God, all the character of God, all the love of God. Everything that God is in you because Jesus lives in you. So I've got to tell the devil, I spent a lot of time trying to complete myself. This is going to make me happy. This is going to satisfy me. Yeah, that'll be enough right there. Oh, that's it. Right here. Inside of me, inside of you, the completeness of God. I'll close with this thought. Back in the soup line days here in this nation, during the Great Depression, there was in this certain city, there was a lady. She come out and she got in the line to be able to get soup, and she had managed to get a hold of a huge pot. This pot would have took care of not just her but her whole extended family. And so she's standing in line, and there's people in front of her and behind her, but there's this one woman who's her neighbor, and she had brung this little pint mason jar. And she said, "Do you think they're going to fill your big pot?" And she said, "Yeah." She said, "No." She said, "Everybody here, they get, this is what they get. This is what they get." She said, "You may get that." She said, "But the rest of my family can't get in this line because of certain situations and circumstances." And said, "I've done talked to God, and my pot's going to be full." And this and that made this lady so mad. She said, "God can't do that." Said, "I know these people," and said, "They've got an agenda, and they've got to follow rules. They've got to follow protocol." And she said, "I don't care." Said, "God told me to bring it. I'm bringing it." She said, "Well, you look like an idiot." She said, well, I don't know what you think I look like. She said, but to God, I look like his sheep. And I'm following him. He's my shepherd. And so she walked up to the line, and they filled that pot without blinking an eye, without saying a word. And she turned and walked around in praise. And that woman that was behind her, she had an experience of God that changed her life. Because all of a sudden, she saw that God could meet needs. Not only could, but that he would. And she saw an anointing of faith and love in that woman's life. And that changed her. This morning, I want you to know that you have the capacity in your life to cause people to see God like they've never saw him before. Yes, I recognize that there's a lot of hate out there. I recognize there's a lot of darkness out there. But the darker it is, the brighter the light in you is going to shine. And the more hatred there is, the more opportunity for the love of God that is, it's so hard to put a number on. It has no capacity. God's love never fails, but it's always expanding. It's like the light of the Lord. So this morning I asked you, where are you at? What are you looking for? What do you need this morning? God wants to increase your capacity. He wants to give you the ability to believe like you've never believed before. So pray this prayer with me. Just open up your heart to the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as a group of people, we're here before you this morning. We know that you've got greater things for us than we've ever dreamed of, because you use your church to reach the lost. You use your church to disciple those and show them how they can pick up their cross, how they can become what you've destined them to be. You use us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, by the anointing of the Spirit of God, everything that is hindering your will, your word, your work in our lives, show us how to decrease. Show us how to expand the capacity that you would have for us. Help us to receive it in our heart. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Let it be. Let it be. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar? If you don't feel led to do that, make yourself an altar at your chair. And just let's just spend some time with the Lord and let him just speak to you. Let him just bring revelation to you. Let him just give you a word this morning that will just unleash the dynamic power of the capacity that is inside the complete Christian. Because that's what you are. You are complete in Jesus. Hallelujah.